Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And welcome to Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. And today we're going to be talking about the book Positive Discipline. We just had a 25th anniversary edition, a revised edition come out. And Jane, what can you tell me about this new book? What's different about it?
Well, first of all, I just have to say how excited I am that it has stayed in print and stayed popular for 25 years. And one of the main things I wanted to do is when I keep getting questions from parents and teachers, they're always talking about the children's behavior and what they have done and how they should deal with their behavior. And I really wanted to convey how parents and teachers need to take more responsibility for the behavior that's going on with children. And I wanted to do it in a way that doesn't convey blame or shame, but just to help parents and teachers be more aware of how some of the things they do contribute to the misbehavior of children.
Can you give me an example of something that's new in the book there that you've added?
Well, I think that a big thing is that parents and teachers don't realize how much they help create rebellion or power struggles because they do too much telling. They tell kids what happened, what caused it to happen, how they should feel about it, what they should do about it. And how would you feel if somebody did that to you?
Yeah, well.
Would you feel like cooperating or would you feel like rebelling?
Rebelling, of course.
Exactly. And so the whole point is to help parents and teachers learn how to include children more respectfully. And just one way is through asking what we call curiosity questions, like, well, getting into the child's world and asking what happened and how do you feel about it? What do you think caused it to happen? What ideas do you have to solve the problem? So it comes from the root word educare, which means to draw forth instead of to stuff in. So that's just one example, but there are just so many ideas that invite more cooperation. Let me just give you one other. A tool that seems to be so prevalent is the use of logical consequences. And what most parents and teachers do is try to disguise punishment by calling it a logical consequence. And when they just eliminate consequences and start involving children in solutions, and that's why we call our program Focusing on Solutions, because that's the big emphasis is to stop using punishment and focus on solutions. Because punishment is designed to make kids pay for what they've done, and focusing on solutions is to help them learn from the experience of what they've done. So that's just one. One of the other things I really love about the new book is that at the end of every chapter, there's a summary of all the tools that were discussed in that chapter, because even though there's a lot of examples of how those tools are applied, often parents and teachers don't see, wow, this is how many tools there are to replace punishment. So that the kind of tools that invite what we call the five criteria for effective discipline. And let me just go over those really briefly because it is the foundation for what is in all of the positive discipline books. And those five criteria are, is it both kind and firm at the same time? And that means both respectful and encouraging. And most parents or teachers are either too kind or too firm or vacillate back and forth between the two instead of being kind and firm at the same time. Another very important one is, does it help children feel a sense of belonging and significance? This is just so important because most misbehavior is caused because children don't perceive that they have that belonging and significance. The third one is it effective long-term? And I always like to point out that we're not saying that punishment doesn't work. If all you're interested in is stopping the misbehavior right now, it will do that. Punishment will do that. But what are the long-term results of what children are deciding about themselves? Are they deciding I'm capable or incapable? Are they deciding I'm good or I'm bad? And we want to do things that help children make decisions that are positive about themselves and that help them feel that they are capable. And number four, does it teach valuable social and life skills for good character? And the last one is, does it help children develop the belief that they are capable and that they can use their personal power in constructive ways? Now, when you think about those five criteria, punishment does not help children do any of those. It doesn't meet any of those five criteria. But every single one of the tools that we discuss in all of the positive discipline books meet all of those five criteria.
Now, the book's got a brand new cover and everything. It looks nice. And it seems like it's got a lot of more material involved in it, more pages. Was it a lot of work to make this revision available?
Actually, it wasn't. Sometimes I ask myself, how can I keep writing parenting books? How can I keep revising parenting books? And what's amazing is that I keep learning. And I, both from my own experience and from the experiences of helping other people, I just keep having new insights. And there are some new chapters. There's a new chapter on personality, yours and theirs. And what does your personality invite from children? And when you are aware of that, what could you do to invite more cooperation? And sometimes it means working on some changes that you might need to make instead of just what your changes your children might need to make. So it's got an expansion on the family meetings and a lot more ideas of that you can use in family meetings. So there are a lot of changes, and I've had some very good feedback. Especially the thing I'm happy about is that people have read the part about taking more responsibility for how they help create the misbehavior without feeling that sense of blame or shame, but just awareness so that they can do something different that is more inviting for children to be cooperative and respectful.
Okay, well, is there anything else you want to say about this book?
I'm just so thrilled that it's helped so many people, and like I love getting feedback. If anybody wants to let me know what they think about it and share their success stories. We're starting to publish their success stories on the website too. In fact, can we do that on Focusing on Solutions to have a whole bunch of success stories?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
The book is available on positivedisciplined.com. And so if you want to swing by there and take a look at it, you'll find it there.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And until next time, this is Ken Ainge for Focusing on Solutions.
Hello, this is Isaac Hayes. Music and children. Have you ever wondered why young people take to music like fish to water? Maybe it's because music is fun, plain and simple. It offers kids a way to move their bodies and use their voices. It opens up their minds to dream about great dreams about where they can go and what they can do when they get older. As a young boy, I remember. Our kids, American kids, come from more cultures and backgrounds than any nation in history. And sometimes the most fertile common ground they share is that of music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.